Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It is hour three of the nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and joining us now is former Cowboy safety Barry Church here in the G-Bag Nation. Oh, we'd love to have you on, Barry. Thanks for coming on again. How you doing?
I'm doing amazing, fellas. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Shoot, yeah, we love it. Now, what do you think about these Cowboys being 2-1? Is the season saved, and what do you think about Cooper Rush?
I'm not so sure the season saved yet. Cooper Rush, I think he's playing very efficient football out there. And the thing that impressed me the most about Rush is he's keeping the ball out of harm's way. You know, this is another game where he has zero takeaways out there. So he's managing the game extremely well. And Kellen Moore is doing a good job of incorporating that run, which we've been begging for, since last season. So they're doing a good job running the football. Cooper Rush is doing a great job managing that offense, and defensively, I mean, where do you start? You know, that front seven is fierce. And when you talk about, Parsons, and you talk about D-Law coming out there getting three sacks, Dorrance Armstrong, who's quietly had one of his most explosive seasons to date. So these guys are flying around at all cylinders, and right now this Cowboys defense is definitely the strength of the team. But Cooper Rush is doing a hell of a job managing the offense as well.
Okay, since you said not yet, Barry, what would it take for you to be a believer in these Cowboys?
I would love for them to go out there. I know you can only play who's on schedule, but if it comes to that Rams game, which I believe is, I think it's next week after this Washington Commanders game, but if they're able to go out there into L.A. and go out there and defeat, the defending champs out there, I think that'd be a great start to saying, like, all right, man, this season is definitely special. But right now they've beaten up on a Cincinnati team who, they looked extremely, extremely rusty coming out of the gates, especially Joe Burrow. And then you got a New York Giants team who I don't think they were 2-0, but I didn't think anybody really held any salt to New York Giants football up there. So they you can only play who's on schedule. They've done a good job of beating those teams, but I would love to see them beat a contender out there, and I don't think Washington's that it.
Barry, how does the locker room handle a quarterback that's the backup that's winning football games?
Oh, well, it's a sticky situation because we had that same situation in 2016 with Dak. I mean, when you got a guy that has the command of the offense out there and is rolling like he is, and it's just – it's hard to pull a quarterback with such momentum, and I think that's what happened in 2016. Now, Dak had a larger sample size. I think he played, I want to say, maybe 11 games before Romo was able to come back. So he had a larger sample size. But to me, it's definitely hard to pull a guy that has momentum, is going undefeated the way he was doing. Cooper Rush, if he had that large sample size, I think it would be hard to pull him as well. But it seems like Dak will be getting back well before that 11-game mark. So Cooper Rush, he's doing a hell of a job back there. But, when four comes back, I definitely believe it'll be Dak's job once again.
It's Barry Mother Evan Church with us here on 105.3 The Fan on the G-Bag Nation. There was a lot made, and I know Steve Young made some comments last week about maybe Dak learning a little bit while he's out from Cooper Rush. What can you gain while you're out due to injury as a player and you watch your teammates to try and gain some perspective for when you get back out there?
I'm going to be honest with you, man. When I was injured in 2016, I was – you call it selfish, but I was hoping them guys didn't do as good as I was doing out there. I mean, that's just how I approach things because, I was looking at it like, man, I was in a contract year and I'm seeing, Will Cox and Heath, and they're out there doing their things while I'm injured for a little bit. I'm like, man, I got to get that back out there quick. So to me, it really wasn't about learning. It was just making sure I get as healthy as possible so I can go back there and reassert myself as the dominant starter out there. But in Dak's situation, man, I mean, he can probably learn a little bit from Cooper Rush as far as the play calls and what's going on and how to incorporate the run a little bit more instead of relying strictly on the arm. And I think that's something that he and Kellen Moore can both learn from this absent Dak has been so far. So to me, I think he has a little bit to learn. But if it was me, on the other hand, I'm just trying to get back as quick as possible.
Barry, if you're playing defense against this Cowboys team and you look up and you see that it is Zeke in the backfield and not Pollard, are you kind of giving a Tiger fist pump, or do you feel like, hey, Zeke is dang near just as good?
If I'm seeing Zeke in the backfield, I don't like it. Because to me, when you're going against a guy that seeks contact like that and punishes the defense, I'm telling you, as a defender, it wears you down. And when you get to that third, fourth quarter, you start turning down a little bit. You a little bit of hits. You start, you know, latching onto those blockers a little bit more so you don't have to get in the fray. When I see guys like, you know, Tony Pollard out there, and nothing against Pollard because he's an extremely explosive back and he's extremely good back. But when I see guys like that, I'm thinking, okay, I can wrap this guy up. I can get him on the ground without having to take any punishment. But I hated going against the guys like, you know, Derrick Henry or Ezekiel Elliott, guys that just run downhill and punish you for four quarters. So to me, I love seeing guys like Pollard in the backfield.
Barry, do you think we're seeing Mike McCarthy influence the offense at all? Do you think that, you know, since Dak's injury, that maybe Mike has clicked over there and started interacting more with Kellen on that stuff?
It could be that. It could be McCarthy getting a little bit more influence, or it could be, you know, Cooper Rush doesn't have the ability to audible. You know, I'm not saying that's 100% sure, but, you know, Dak had that, you know, ability to audible to play call. So maybe Kellen's been calling these things all along, but, you know, Dak sees a look and says, hey, we can, you know, switch it up this way and it might be a better result. So I'm not sure what it is, if it's McCarthy, if it's just Cooper Rush's lack of audibling. But so far, Kellen, in these last two games, he's done a heck of a job incorporating this offense and making sure it's tailored to the strengths of Cooper Rush.
It's former Cowboy safety Barry Church here with you in the G-Bag Nation. Can you take us down memory lane the last time there was a real quarterback controversy in 2016? What was it like, and why were teammates willing to move on from Tony so much as it turned out they were?
Well, in our situation in 16, you know, Tony, he was an established vet. You know, he was, you know, all pro guy, Pro Bowl guy. And he I don't want to say he really wasn't that much of a team guy, but, you know, a lot of players kind of looked at him more of a coach instead of a teammate. You know, he kind of always was around the coaching staff during lunch and all that other stuff. So guys really didn't kind of get that great bond or that great connection with Romo. I mean, of course he had, you know, Wittens and the Dez Bryants and everything like that were really tight with Romo. But on the other side, the defensive side of the football, we never really got that tight with Romo. So it really wasn't a situation where it's like, man, we got to have our boy back out there. You know, Dak, he's doing a heck of a job, but man, that's our boy. We're going to give him another shot. It really wasn't like that. We kind of saw, you know, Romo as a coach out there rather than a teammate. And, you know, I don't want to speak for everybody. Maybe that's just my experience. But that's why I really feel like, you know, it was easier for us to say, you know, no, this is Dak's team. This is where we need to go. Plus, the guy was, I think he was 10-1 at one time. So when you got that much momentum on your side, you kind of got to go with the hot hand.
And then he beat the Steelers and the Packers and everything. And, you know, he was putting up some perfect passer ratings. It's quite a bit different from the current situation. But were you surprised that, you know, as you mentioned, Dez and even Witten were, you know, I heard Dez talking about it a couple of weeks ago in a Twitter Spaces. Even he was, you know, on the side of leaving Dak in there. And those were some longtime friends, like you mentioned.
Yeah, and I was extremely surprised about that point. I mean, like you said, on the defensive side of the football, I kind of knew where everybody was going. We were all on the same, you know, let's keep this thing rolling. Let's keep Dak in there. But when you saw, you know, the Wittens of the world, you know, the Dez Bryants, you know, Tyron Smith, those guys on the offensive side of the football say, hey, you know, we got to kind of ride with that hot hand. I mean, it was surprising to me because, like you said, those guys have been friends for an extremely long time, and, you know, you always want to give your boy another chance or the benefit of the doubt. But when you have, like I said, when you have that much momentum riding and we were killing it at that point, I feel like we couldn't be stopped. It was like a juggernaut going on and we just didn't want to get in the way of it. And it ended up happening where Dak just ended up staying the quarterback and, you know, the rest was history.
Is that a special bond now, you think, between the players and Dak? Or what if Rush would beat the Rams and the Eagles and put up some huge games? Could it swing against Dak in any way? Or is he just such a magical leader that's locked in? What do you think about that?
I think it's locked in. I mean, it'll be extremely tough if Rush were to go out there, beat the Rams, beat the Eagles. I mean, that's a lot of momentum on one guy's side. And players will start to think about it a little bit if that were to happen. But I think Dak is just so locked in and such ingrained as such a leader on that team that, you know, he treats no one different. I mean, you could be, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, or you could be all the way down to the last guy on the practice squad. And he treats everybody such the same with such respect that he has such respect in that locker room. And I just can't see, you know, if it came down to the players saying, you know what, hey, we kind of want to ride with Cooper Rush. I just can't see that happen. I mean, he's so ingrained in that locker room as the leader. I feel like each and every player in there feels like he gives that team the best chance to win, even though Cooper Rush is having so far a hell of a season.
Yeah, because you can even see that, I mean, with him being involved on the sideline, you know, cheering guys on. I don't remember necessarily, and correct me if I'm wrong, Barry, you know, Tony being that involved when he was hurt early on in 2016. I mean, how much of an impact does that even have for the guys in that locker room, just having Dak's presence, even if he's not on the field playing, but just having him on the sideline for games?
It's huge. It's huge because, it makes you feel like he's still a part of the team. You know, I go back to that 2016 year, and, you know, Romo, he had the surgery, so he had to be out a little bit. But, you know, even when he was back, you know, he might have showed up on game day, you know, but he really wasn't there each and every practice, you know, with the team, you know, giving guys pointers or cheering guys on. It just really wasn't like that. And I get it. You know, he was a lot older in his career, and he was a much more established vet and all that good stuff. But, you know, with Dak, like I said, I feel like he's such ingrained in this team where he has a relationship with each and every one of those players out there. You know, I couldn't say the same for Romo in that year in 2016. You know, he might have, you know, talked to a few people here and there, but like I said, he had nowhere near the leadership that Dak was able to have with this team.
Barry Church with us here on The Fan. When you watch Carson Wentz, do you get a little, do you see a little Bortles in Wentz?
I don't know if he's as bad as Bortles. I don't know if he's that bad, because he can be hot and cold. But right now, I mean, he's extremely cold right now.
Yeah, it looks like it will be another feasting of a Cowboys defense on Sunday versus Carson Wentz.
Hey, Barry, when defensive players watch tape and you see a game like what happened with the Commanders last week, is it a confidence level, or is it like, man, we got to be careful about this? We can't think we can do this or this or that. I hate the mindset question, but how do you approach that when you see a team just get overrun the way they did when it's giving up sacks?
Well, you definitely got to respect your opponent each and every week, because, you know, anything can happen on any given Sunday. But if I'm a part of that front seven, I'm licking my chops, because, you know, I think the Eagles, they have a good front seven, but I don't think it can hold the jock strap of this Dallas Cowboys front seven. So I'm licking my chops. If I'm Parsons, if I'm D Law out there, I'm saying, look, if they got, you know, 8-9 sacks, we might as well go out there and get 10-11, because the way that he's holding that ball back there, Carson Wentz, I mean, he's holding it forever back there just looking for the big chunk play. And 9 times out of 10, he's either getting sacked or he's running around for his life and he's throwing the football away. So if I'm on that defensive side of the football, that front seven, I'm licking my chops. And if I'm in the secondary, I'm thinking, man, he's going to throw me at least one or two of these things. So you definitely got to respect your opponent, but at the same time, man, you got to take this as, hey, we got to take advantage of this and pass some of them stats as well.
Barry Church here on The Fan. We do have the Tank Lawrence Show coming up in about 45 minutes. How good is your former teammate here coming off that 3-sack game now?
Oh, he's got to be riding high right now. I was about to get on him, because if he didn't do anything in this Giants game, I was going to say, hey, man, you haven't done much all season, man. What's going on? But he definitely went out there and shut me up and had his 3-sack performance, and he let maybe one or two more slip away. So I definitely know he's hungry to get that sack title back in his hands, especially after the way Parsons has started so far this year.
Now, which safety style do you prefer? Kearse, who's in position, pretty good coverage, very sure tackler, or Donovan Wilson looking to blow anything and everything up in his path?
I prefer Kearse, man. I prefer that guy who's a reliable tackler, good in space, and he can do multiple things. He can cover, he can play in a deep pass. So I prefer Kearse's style, but I love Wilson's as well. The way he comes down and just thumps people, but he's more hit or miss out there. Like I said, he reminds me of Wilcox a lot. But to me, if it boils down to it, I prefer Kearse's style out there.
You know, we've been looking at this Washington team, as you have. They do have a lot of good skill players. I think their offensive line might be a little bit of poochies, as is their quarterback. But, you know, maybe the screen game, if the Cowboys, we've been talking about this with Broadus, maybe if the Cowboys get caught upfield, the screen game could hurt them. What's the key, from your perspective, to defending the screen?
Well, to me, you got to win, especially with this offense. I think you got to win on first and second down. I think if you keep them in the long third and seven pluses, That's where I think your defense can really tee off on these guys, and you can really take advantage of it. But as far as the screen game, I mean, you got to make sure you read your P's and Q's out there. And this defensive line, they're smart. They got great, smart players out there that know if the offensive lineman is just not going to let you breeze by them, you know, for a sack without no competition out there. You know, read your keys out there and make sure you understand what's going on behind you. But overall, I think the key to this game defensively is they got to make sure they shut them out on first and second down and keep them in those third and longs. And then I think you can limit what those two running backs can do in the screen game on with that regard. But you got to be smart and you got to read your keys.
Barry, we got a Thursday night football matchup tonight. The Bengals are favored by 4 over the Dolphins, and the Dolphins defense had to play 90 snaps on Sunday.
That's a lot of snaps.
I was going to say, like, how do you perform the next week as a defender if you just played 90 snaps and you're on a short week now?
I mean, you're going to be sore. That's got to be all heart in this game. I mean, 90 snaps, and then you got to turn around and play, you know, 3-4 days later. I mean, those guys have got to be sore out there. But I need Cincinnati to win. I need them to pull it through because, you know, in fantasy, I'm going against basically the entire Miami offense right now. So I need those Cincinnati players to step up and win this game because I'm not doing too good in fantasy so far this year.
Well, you're always a Cowboy to us, but you did play in Jacksonville and in an AFC Championship game that you should have won. You was robbed. We know that.
Man, I was straight robbed.
Yep, you were robbed. But what do you think about your Jags? They could be 3-0, but they're 2-1 earlier in this year.
They're doing pretty well out there. I feel like that quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, he's taking the next couple steps to try to get himself into that next category of quarterbacks out there. I'm extremely surprised at how good James Robinson has been out of the backfield, especially coming off of an Achilles tear like he's had. I mean, that guy's rumbling and stumbling through a lot of teams out there. And defensively, it seems like they've kind of gotten back to that Jacksonville type of swag we had back in 2017. I mean, they're getting after the quarterback with that front seven, and they're playing sound defense behind that. So that defense, I mean, that team overall, I think it just needed a coach, like a grown man coach. It didn't need a coach that, you know, just, we all know what Urban Meyer was in Jacksonville. So I just think they needed a better coach out there, and they got one in Doug Peterson, and he's getting the most out of that team.
All right, Barry, serious question here. And you're a Miller Lite guy, just like myself. We experienced that together at the Cowboys fantasy event right before the season kicked off. Question for you.
Yeah.
What is a more difficult way to consume a beer? Is it through a disgusting sneaker of one of your teammates? You know, he's sweating a time or two, or consuming a beer through a hot dog. Like, imagine the hot dog is a straw, and you drink the beer through the hot dog wiener. What is a more difficult way to consume the beer?
So the shoey versus the straw dog.
Correct.
Oh man, those things are both disgusting. But I gotta say the shoe, man, because I've seen a couple shoes in that locker room, and I've seen the toes of some of those guys in the locker room. I mean, they got the fungus going. I mean, it ain't pretty sight. You got dead skin up in there. Who knows what you're swallowing when you're taking a shoe from the sneaker like that? At least from the hot dog, I mean, it is what it is. But you got all types of funguses and y'all, who knows what's all up in that sneaker and how old the sneaker was, man. So yeah. I gotta say,
not making me feel any better about this, what I just had to do.
In
there,
in fact,
Greg,
you might think less of somebody who
just drank a beer from the sneaker.
To get back into the survivor pool, we had to get back in. We had a challenge, and that was one of the challenges we had to do.
Whose sneaker was it, though?
It was Eric's.
It was mine, bro. Yeah. My sauna sneaker.
Oh,
yeah. Not
it
good.
Was your sauna sneaker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I told Broadus he might need to eat Tough Actin, Tin Actin. I don't know if it'll work the same way.
Oh, my boy got the corns coming out of there. Oh,
yeah.
No.
I'm still here to tell you about it, man. Still here.
We're doing this.
I'm going to pray for you, big dog.
Hey, I'll tell you, that's a lot of toughness there, Barry. Yeah. I think I'm going to play the opposite you in that. Yeah, that's secondary.
You could definitely been in that Rod Marinelli system, because that's tough as hell right there.
Rod, it's a fox hole guy.
Thank you, man.
Barry, you're the best.
So you want in on the survivor pool then, Barry? We'll get you in on this.
Yeah, I'll be in there, but I can't drink no sneaker fluid, man.
Thank you so much. Have a great week. Enjoy the football. We'll catch up with you soon.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. Later,
yes,
fellas.
Always. Hey, Barry Church, he is the man, and he joins us from time to time here during the football season of the G-Back Nation.
Oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.